If you have your Bibles, turn to, Genesis chapter 8. We'll be reading a passage of Scripture from verse 22. And if you don't have your Bibles, don't worry. We will have it on the screen so we can share it together at that point and in that way. As Dan said, understand, the Bible has instructed us, the Lord has instructed us to make disciples. The Bible talks about those that God has given to the church. There's our evangelists and evangelism. Then there are pastors. And there are teachers. All are necessary for the proper growth and discipling of a church and a congregation. It begins with evangelism. You have to hear the good news. You have to come face to face with the resurrected Christ and choose whether you're going to trust Christ for salvation or not. But then it wouldn't make much sense for those of you that are members of our church and have been for maybe 20 years for me to preach the same John 3:16 message every Sunday. You can only get saved once. You need more than that. You need to be discipled so that we can follow Christ in every area of our life. So there's also this importance of pastoring. What is pastoring? Pastoring is shepherding, leading, guiding, feeding, protecting, providing. We have shepherded this congregation over the last 2 years through a 98% hoax of a pandemic, trying to force submission and the surrendering of rights, and quite frankly, trying to encourage people to take something into their body, which still we don't know what's going to happen. So that is pastoring. That's protecting the flock. And then there's teaching. That's making disciples. You know, Paul certainly preached the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15. However, you look at Paul's epistles. Paul covered every area that deals with day-to-day living for a Christian in a pagan world. There were instructions for how to handle sexual sins, misbehavior within the church, how it should be dealt with. There was instruction for how to handle disagreements between church members. In fact, Paul taught specifically about marriage and God's design for sexuality. There's instruction for business owners regarding their ethics and their employment practices and paying a fair wage on time. There's instructions for employees to give an honest day's work because you're not working to please men, you're working to glorify and honor the Lord. So understand, Paul didn't just preach the gospel. Paul was making disciples. But his primary mission was not pastoring a church. Paul was traveling through Asia. Paul was traveling through Greece. Paul traveled eventually as far to Rome, establishing churches and giving them instruction as how they should organize and function. But understand, it's not just, as Dan referenced, John 3:16 every day. Now, John 3:16 is important and valid every day. And if I only had one shot to talk to a person or to a congregation or an audience, I'm going to present the gospel. However, you all are members of our congregation. And if you're visiting, we hope that you enjoy being here and come back. And if you go back and you listen to our archives, we cover everything. We get into such subjects as the doctrine of the Trinity to eschatology. We cover everything in between, and then including very practical things. Right now on Wednesday night, we're going through biblical economics. We've talked about biblical sexuality. Those are very important to us in life, and it's important that everything we do to the glory of God. Sadly, most churches just leave you in la-la land, and most Christians live lives in la-la land, where you wouldn't recognize that they were saved. You would have no idea that a person was a Christian or not unless you happened to catch a glimpse of the sticker on the back bumper of their car or something along those. Let's say take a Bible to work day, but they don't even do that anymore, I don't think. So it's important that we work together. Pastor Dan and I have been charged with pastoring and discipling this congregation. So it covers everything. And as you're going to see this week, as you have learned over the last 2 years with this COVID nonsense, I believe that we are in an eschatological time of quickly approaching what the Bible calls the last days. I mean, doesn't mean the rapture is today, doesn't mean it's next week. It might be 5 years, 10 years, heavens. It could be. We may get a pushback. We may see 20 or 25 years before the Lord comes. However, based upon what I am seeing, including the COVID nuts, and including the subject that I'm going to preach about today. As you will see, this week's message and next week's message, I think, are very clear indicators, along with everything else, that the Lord's return is soon. And again, as David Barton says, whether by rupture or by rapture, we need to be prepared every day to meet Jesus, because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So as Pastor Dan said earlier, there's nothing during the Bible class, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? So obviously, your relationship with Christ is of utmost importance. But once you're born again, you need to be mentored. You need to be discipled. And as Dan referenced in the announcements, we need to be the sons of Issachar. You know, the Bible commends the sons of Issachar, stating that there's only 200 of them, but they had understanding of the times. And they were able to counsel the rest of Israel into the way that they should go. And it was a political issue. So we have to be sons of Issachar. Christians better have a clue as to what's going on, because you can rest assured the lost world has no idea what's going on. Stand, if you would, we'll read a verse of Scripture and we'll get started. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. God says this. Read with me the first four words. While the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word of God. The title of today's message is going to be this, Fire and Ice. We're doing a two-part series. I mean, obviously, we can't begin to scratch the surface. However, we will cover enough in these 2 weeks where you have a great working knowledge of the subject, where if you were to take a test on this information, you'd be able to make a 75 or an 80, because you'll know what you're dealing with. We're going to talk this week about the facts of climate change. Next week, we're going to talk about the politics of climate change. So let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings upon this Bible teaching. Lord, help me to be clear in conveying these truths and be bold to not back up from anything. Lord, have our people, I pray that you would open their hearts and minds to where that we would, in fact, be the sons of Issachar of this generation, and that we would be so effective that we would influence our own community, influence our own state. And Lord God, as we have prayed many times, I know exactly what the last 7 years is going to look like. We don't know how far away we are from that period of time. But Lord, it's my prayer and our prayer and the reason we do the work that we do, Lord, that the gospel won't be driven underground prior to our being called home. Lord, we pray that we'd see a country that once again doesn't just have "In God We Trust" as an empty slogan on our currency, but we'd actually have a country that's built upon the laws of nature and nature's God and fears you, and you can bless that country. So Lord, that is our hope. My hope is when the trumpet does sound, we will still be free, our children and our grandchildren. So, Lord, please bless the teaching today and accomplish what you would through it. We do pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, students of Scripture estimate that Noah and his family were on the ark for approximately a year. Actually, they've done the math, and if you add even the week that they were in the ark before it started raining, they conclude that there were about 370 days where Noah and his family were inside the ark and the entirety of the flood judgment was completed. Well, of course, finally the waters did recede and the Lord opened the door. The animals departed the ark. The Scriptures tell us that the first thing that Noah did was he built an altar and he sacrificed unto the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with that response. And God promised never to destroy the earth again by a flood. And then he put his rainbow in the sky as a seal guaranteeing that commitment. And folks, I think it is sad that that particular community has hijacked the rainbow, which God used as a seal to assure that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. When you read the Jewish history and read other historical accounts, one of the primary sins of the pre-flood generation was sexual immorality, and in particular, homosexuality. And now here we are again, and the LGBT community has adopted what was a holy seal and tried to make it their moniker. But of course, the Lord promised that he would never destroy the earth by flood again. And then God made this promise, which we read in our text this morning. God said, as long as the earth remains, there will be changing seasons. As long as the earth remains, there will be days and there will be nights. As long as the earth remains, there will be weather. As long as the earth remains, there will be climate. Now, the Lord has told us in further revelation that this earth will not last forever. And more than that, the Bible tells us how that end shall come about. According to the Bible, the earth shall be burned up. But ladies and gentlemen, it won't be our Learjets and our SUVs that cause that. After the rapture of the church, after the tribulation, after the millennial reign of Christ, there will be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And the believers of all time will live forever in a perfect creation in the Lord's presence in glorified bodies, just as Jesus had when he rose from the dead. Bodies that are designed not to wear out, bodies that were designed for eternity. But that being said, that means there's at least 1,007 years from now, or from when the day the rapture comes, until God destroys planet Earth. And God has promised that the earth and its seasons will remain until that time. That's unequivocal. But Al Gore warned in 2006 with his historic hockey stick graph that we only had 10 years before we would reach a point of no return. By the way, there is a truth about models. If you put in bad data, you're going to get out bad results. So you can create whatever mathematical equation you want, but if you put bad information in, you're going to get the wrong answer. And I think it's amazing. It's only been, 15 years, 16 years, but the predictions are so far off from what reality is, it's hard to believe that it could be considered accidental. In addition to Al Gore, we have AOC as a freshman congresswoman warning that we only had 12 years until it would be too late. Of course, when she was called on that, she quickly backtracked and said, I didn't mean literally, although when you hear her made that statement, she was trying to scare you into believing that's literally what she was saying. And sadly, our schools are busy poisoning the minds of our children. Please watch this quick video on the screen.
They're frightened.
I worry. My mom worries.
The water might rise and it might flood the whole town.
We won't be able to survive for long.
What are you most worried will happen?
We'll all die.
Are there some people who say this isn't true?
Yes.
Yes. Might they be right?
No.
How do you know they're not right?
Well, because the earth is getting hotter.
Where do you learn this?
Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What global warming is doing? Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What global warming is doing?
One of the main components after educating the students of global warming is that they're given a letter for their families to sign, and it's to the congressman or woman. It's for Congress to pass.
Remember when we went to school to actually learn to read and write and do arithmetic, and we learned real history and real science? Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on in public education today is child abuse. They are intentionally trying to recruit and groom our children, over-sexualizing children as young as 3 years of age. Children that young have no business having their innocence stolen from them, and it's criminal. But right now, it's all about LGBT propaganda or critical race theory being taught that America is the worst country that ever was created, and that we are solely responsible for everything wrong on planet Earth. And then this nonsense about climate. Can you imagine taking a 5 or 6 year old and scaring them to death that we were about to be destroy the Earth and we're all going to die? But what do we do about these prophets of climate doom? Well, as I've already told you, this week and next week we're going to analyze on a very quick survey of this subject. Next week, we're going to look at the politics, and you'll understand why what is going on is going on. Today, we're just going to look at the facts of climate change, and we're just going to look at a few. Fact number one, climate is always changing. In fact, the climate goes through trends of warming and cooling periods, and it always has. My friend Warren Smith reported in his work, Clear Thinking on Climate Change, said this, "The modern era of instrument-derived record-keeping goes back only about 150 years to the 1880s. Satellite data goes back only about 40 years. That means we don't have a baseline of global data that predates the Industrial Revolution. However, from the data we do have, from the 1880s to about 1910, the data suggests that the Earth was cooling. Then, from about 1910 to 1940, the Earth seemed to be warming. Then, from 1940 until about 1975, came another cooling trend." Now, of course, you know what they're trying to scare us with now. But do you remember, in the 1970s, the same politically motivated, science porn pushers were trying to convince you that the world was on the precipice of the next ice age. Look at these magazine covers from Time magazine, just a sampling covering the entirety of the decade of the 70s. Well, what happened to that ice age? As a matter of fact, I think it's interesting, just last month, they were promoting this. They actually had discovered a full remains of a baby woolly mammoth found frozen in Siberia in 2007, now on display at Chicago's Field Museum on September 30th. But everybody knows that was the ice age. Mammoths frozen in time in a second. And we were warned of this one coming in the 70s. But what happened? In fact, it only took 20 years for the same scientists using the same tools of propaganda to change their view that we were going to die from another ice age to telling us that we were going to burn up from global warming. But whatever it is, because they can't seem to figure out what it is, either warming or cooling, they do know this, the world's about to end, and man is responsible for it with his fossil fuels. Don't you love this poster that was being promoted by the United Nations on our educational programs? And you notice what they've taught the kids. You see the son playing the part of a doctor with the doctor's reflector on his forehead. Then you see the earth, obviously sick, with a thermometer in his mouth taking his temperature, which is all red because he's overheated. And of course, we see what the problem is. The sun diagnoses the earth. Oh, here's your problem. You have humans. Humans are the cause of your sickness. Now, it's interesting that the Bible says that God put man on this earth as his representatives to bring order and to manage it. So someone's wrong. Either the Bible's wrong or the United Nations is wrong. And I've got a pretty good idea of which one it is. Now, amazingly, they have discovered what actually affects the Earth's temperature more than anything else. And I know this will be a shock for you. There's going to be a number of things today that you're going to go, oh my, I never thought about that. But the thing that most affects the temperature of the Earth is that big, giant, gaseous, orange ball of fire in the center of the universe. And scientists have long known, I want to emphasize that, scientists know the truth that the intensity of the sun is not consistent. As it says in this NASA article, dated November 26, 2012, our sun has an 11-year activity cycle. During that 11-year period, the number of sunspots per year rises to what scientists call a solar maximum. Then that number falls to a solar minimum. Scientists know this is cyclical and know that it's normal. Now, the same magazine, NASA, comes out in another article, this one published in 2003, and states that these cycles are normally in predictable ranges. However, occasionally, in a pattern that the scientists do not fully grasp, the maxima and minima break out of their 11-year limits and have more extended warming and cooling periods, which they note is a significant component to what we are now observing as so-called global warming. So cyclical warming and cooling is normal on planet Earth, as God told Noah and as science readily knows. In fact, the picture that you see on the screen is of the Mendenhall Glacier near Juneau, Alaska. And they've discovered that as the ice is melting during this current warming period, they see evidence that this entire area was once covered by forests. So you're telling me that forests once covered all of Alaska and not ice? Yes. What does that give you evidence of? Well, it gives evidence that apparently there was a period of time where it was much warmer on planet Earth. And they actually had forests throughout the entirety of Alaska. In fact, did you know that there is evidence that the Vikings at one time farmed Greenland some 1,000 years ago? Now, when the Vikings discovered Iceland and Greenland, they intentionally misnamed both, hoping to mislead their enemies. So they called the fertile, lush island Iceland and the icy, dead island Greenland, trying to deceive the other countries and their enemies. However, science has discovered, archaeology has discovered, the remains of Vikings farming Greenland 1,000 years ago. So what does that tell you? Well, apparently Greenland was substantially warmer 1,000 years ago than it is today. As a matter of fact, did you know that history records that the Thames River in London would freeze so solid for up to 2 months that they would actually have fairs and festivals on the river. Now, historically, we know that between 1600 and 1800, there was a period of time called the Little Ice Age. By the way, it was right in the middle of this period of time, 1777, that General George Washington had to endure that horrible winter at Valley Forge. Ladies and gentlemen, the climate is always changing and always has, just as God said would happen when He made the promise to Noah. In fact, this chart, using proven scientific analysis. Now, here's what they draw from. They have instrumentation for the last 150 years. Prior to that, they look mainly at historical records, as they can go back and see what the Caesars were writing or when they were chronicling that period of time or what was being written at the time of 1000 A.D. They also do studies of tree rings, and they've been able to determine heating and cooling cycles, and this is a result of that study. It indicates a period of heating and cooling that far exceed anything that we have experienced in the last 75 years. As a matter of fact, how many of you have ever heard of the Roman warming period? Anybody? Just a handful? I see 2-3 hands in here. My goodness, that's kind of important. In fact, when you look at it, you see that the temperatures in the Roman warming period and the medieval warming period higher than what we're dealing with right now. Now, if we are the fault, if fossil fuels are the reason we are here right now, yet it was warmer in the medieval times, how did that happen? Was it Leif Erikson and his fossil fuel industry? How was it warmer in the times of the Roman Empire? I thought the Caesars marched in with their legions. I didn't think they flew in hundreds of jet fighters that were contaminating our atmosphere. Of course, you haven't heard about these things. You haven't heard about these past periods of climate because they don't fit the political narrative that man is ruining the earth with fossil fuels. And ladies and gentlemen, it's just like this fake outrage over Black Lives Matter. You know what? Let's stop here for just a moment. The Bible is very clear on this issue. Slavery was always a sin. There's nowhere in the Bible where God condoned slavery. However, you can enslave yourself. And probably most of you are in that category. If you have a mortgage on your house, or if you have a loan on your car, then you have made an agreement with the bank that a certain number of hours of your labor every week is committed to them to pay back the money you've borrowed from them. So yes, you can enslave yourself. However, the law was very clear. If you stole another man, made a slave out of him, that was a capital crime and a capital offense. However, we are being told how terrible the United States of America is for something that happened here over 160 years ago that neither us, our parents, or our grandparents, or our great-grandparents had any part of. Yet, if you look at the statistics, it's not hard to find that there are far more slaves on planet Earth today than there ever was in 1860. In fact, the predominant enslaved countries are India, China, North Korea, Iran, Afghanistan. But see, that doesn't matter. Those lives don't matter because that doesn't fit the political narrative that America is awful. And we've got to destroy America so we can usher in this utopia of global socialism. As a matter of fact, getting back on subject, the world flourishes during warming periods. Let me ask you, what do you think is a better environment for growth? A greenhouse or your freezer? But if fossil fuels are the cause of global warming and cooling, then someone has to explain these periods of demonstrable global climate changes that we have seen in our history. As a matter of fact, go back to the woolly mammoth and explain that ice age. How do you have a mammoth frozen in an instant with food still in his mouth? I'm pretty sure that mammoth wasn't driving around in a Ford Explorer. Fact number two. CO2 is not a dangerous greenhouse gas, as we are told. CO2 is plant food. That's why they add CO2 in greenhouses, sometimes three times and four times what we would consider the normal level. And you know what happens? Fruit grows crazy. The plants grow like crazy. Think about this. In Genesis, it tells us that Adam and Eve sought to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. Have you seen a fig leaf? It doesn't cover much. But if at one time, 6,000 years ago, fig leaves grew large enough to cover a person, to secure their modesty, then it is theorized, and I believe to be true, that at that point in time, especially prior to the flood, the earth was much more like a greenhouse. And you did have plants that grew much larger. You did have life that grew much larger, hence the age of the dinosaurs. But I want you to watch this excerpt from Dr. Patrick Moore. Dr. Moore was one of the founders of Greenpeace. He was a true, honest liberal. He was one of those 60s hippies that was out trying to save the world and help start this organization. But now he's come full circle. He's one of us. Why? Because he's followed the facts and separated what the facts say from the political propaganda that's being pushed out there. Listen to Dr. Moore.
Carbon dioxide and water are the two main constituents of all life. Mm-hmm. Carbohydrates and of course, fossil fuels are hydrocarbons, just missing the oxygen. But when you burn them, the oxygen is recombined with the carbon to form carbon dioxide. Right. And people need to learn more about the chemistry because this is fake science and it is driving a very dangerous movement on the energy front.
And driving a whole political party.
Regardless of the amount of CO2 produced, nature absorbs 50% of whatever that amount is. And remember, life on Earth depends on this stuff. As a matter of fact, at one time when we went to school to get an education, we were taught that plants convert the CO2 into oxygen in the process called photosynthesis. But as I mentioned earlier, in a humorous note, the sun is the biggest factor on global warming. Now let's take layman's terms and view this subject of greenhouse gases and solar activity. First of all, the atmosphere around the Earth serves our Earth as insulation does to a house. It keeps us from getting too hot and keeps us from getting too cold. Now, scientists know, as we've already talked about, that the intensity of the sun is not consistent, but depends upon sunspots and solar flares. Now, make sure and write this down because this is so important and I know it's just going to blow your mind. When sun activity increases, it gets warmer. And when solar activity decreases, it gets cooler. Who says your pastors aren't brilliant? Now, the sun shines on planet Earth and we receive those rays. The ocean covers 72% of the Earth's surface. And not your SUV. Your ocean is the largest contributor of CO2 to the atmosphere. So it's not cow flatulence. Now here's a simple demonstration of how this works. And notice the ingenious design of Almighty God. I mean, we have a self-regulating thermostat. We have this atmosphere which serves as insulation to make sure we don't get too hot or too cold. But first, the sun heats the earth, including the ocean, which makes up 72% of the earth. When the ocean is heated, the CO2 is released into the atmosphere. The ocean produces evaporation. Evaporation becomes clouds. Clouds then serve as a cover and reflect some of the sun's rays, which cools the earth. What a miracle. A built-in, self-regulating global thermostat. Then, after the evaporation, we have that rain falls in warmer regions. And where the rain is not absorbed by the earth, eventually it runs into streams and rivers and ultimately runs back into the oceans. In colder areas, it's snow that falls. But the same thing happens. But rather than being water flowing into the ocean, ice shelves continue to flow slowly downhill where it finally dramatically breaks off into the ocean, making these breathtaking videos that pinheads like Al Gore use to try to deceive you and tell you that there's something not normal about this. Let me tell you, if Niagara Falls stopped flowing, you would say, Houston, we've got a problem. The same thing is true with these ice flows. If they ever stopped coming downhill and breaking off the ocean, then that means the supply chain would be cut off and we would have a problem. But these icebergs, after they fall off, eventually melt as they float south. But sometimes, not before they sink ships, like we know the HMS Titanic. But as long as it continues to snow in Greenland and the Arctic, there will be ice shelves breaking off dramatically into the ocean. And that is normal. Like I said, that is a good thing, unless you happen to be the captain of the Titanic. Now, there's another factor which can affect the temperature of the earth. We've already seen how cloud cover can reflect the sun's rays and cause the earth temperature to cool. There's also something else that can serve as a screen and deflect the sun's rays. That is volcanic activity. As a matter of fact, they have documented in 1816 is called the year without summer. Of course, that was right at the tail end of the little ice age, but it also followed the 1815 eruption of Mount Tambora in Indonesia. So let's review quickly. We've only looked at three things. Trust me, we could go on and on and on. But these are simple, obvious truths that we can all remember. And why do I want to present these to you? Because just like with the subject of evolution, evolution can be destroyed when we remember one fact. Spontaneous generation is scientifically impossible. Life comes from life. Life doesn't just appear out of nothing. Life doesn't come from death. We have proven that scientifically. Therefore, the evolution debate is dead on arrival. We know scientifically that life doesn't just happen spontaneously. Case closed. Well, these are some very obvious, simple facts that you don't need some science degree to be able to understand and to explain. So first of all, climate always changes and always has. World history, as you saw in that chart, proves that there have been periods of warming and cooling that are since Adam and Eve and that are higher than what we have had. Other than the flood, it's recorded in Genesis 6, there's nothing out of the ordinary in world history. Number two, CO2 is not a dangerous greenhouse gas. It's plant food. Number three, the atmosphere around the earth serves as insulation, making sure we don't get too hot or too cold. You hear terms like greenhouse gases? Well, that's a good thing. A greenhouse maintains the optimum conditions for growth. Hence, they have described them as greenhouse gases. Now, we're going to look in our remaining time at just a few myths being promoted by the climate change crowd that are easily debunked. Myth number one, in Al Gore's 2006 panic porn movie called An Inconvenient Truth, we are told that polar ice caps were melting and that sea levels... Notice that word. Here's some critical thinking skills. Whenever you see a reporter or a speaker use terminology like this, understand that all he is trying to do is misdirect you. He knows he can't tell you a lie outright, but he plants this thought and lies to you by insinuating that this is what's going to happen. But he uses the word could. An Inconvenient Truth says sea levels could rise up to 20 feet. Well, the picture that you see on the screen is called Battery Park. It's in the southern end of Manhattan. It just so happens that since 1850, when we had the technology, they have been consistently measuring the sea level for the last 172 years at Battery Park. And what they have discovered is the sea level does rise at a consistent rate of 1.1 inch per decade, and always has. It hasn't changed since we've gone into the automobile era. Yes, the sea is gradually rising. And if the Lord doesn't return for another million years or so, then somebody that has some coastline property might have some concerns. But I'll let them worry about that at that time, because I'm pretty sure we aren't going to make it past 6,000 years of human history. I think we'll enter into the millennial reign of Christ at that point in time, and then the new heaven and the new earth after it. But sea levels are not rising abnormally because of fossil fuels. Myth number two, the polar ice caps are not melting. I loved this article. In March of 2020, you had more of these pinheads that were taking an icebreaker ship up to the Arctic because they were wanting to prove that the Arctic was receding, that the Arctic was melting. Don't you love what happened? Yet another icebreaker finds itself stuck unexpectedly in unexpectedly thick Arctic ice. Don't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. They sent a ship to rescue that one. It got stuck in the ice. They sent a ship to rescue that one. It got stuck in the ice. You know what eventually happened? The seasons changed, and it got warmer, even up there. And the ice melted, and the ships were able to come free. How many of you remember about a year ago when it got like 10 below here in Oklahoma City? How many of you remember 2 weeks ago when it got to 110 in Oklahoma City? Guess what? Seasons change, just as God told Noah. It gets warmer and it gets cooler, not only in Oklahoma, but also in the Arctic. Myth number three, hurricanes are not increasing. This is a study that goes back to 1980 through today, and you'll see in these charts that actually hurricane frequency has been diminishing. As a matter of fact, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration released this, and it's still on their website because I got this yesterday. In summary, it is premature. Now notice how they phrase this. It is premature to conclude with high confidence that increasing atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations from human activities have had a detectable impact on the Atlantic Basin hurricane activity. That's a nice way of saying there is no evidence that that there's any change in hurricane activity because of humanity. Although increasing greenhouse gases are strongly linked to global warming, now that is conjecture. That's part of the propaganda. First sentence, you saw a fact. They're just trying to plant this in here. Hey, we know there's man-made global warming, although with our research, there's been no data and no evidence of increased hurricanes because of man-made global warming. Nevertheless, we all know that there's man-made global warming. Notice the next stories. Human activities, what are those next two words? What does that tell you? They're misleading you. If it's a statement of fact, they'd make a statement of fact. Human activities may have already caused other changes in tropical cyclone activity that are not yet detectable due to the small magnitude of these changes. You know what that sentence means? There's no evidence compared to estimated natural variability or due to observational limitations. So what are they saying? There is no evidence that hurricanes are increasing. As a matter of fact, I showed you that chart in the previous screen. We see that hurricanes are actually decreasing. Okay, what about forest fires? We're told that we're going to have more and more forest fires, and it's all because of global warming. And of course, I can remember in the 70s where they were villainizing the logging industry. You know what loggers did? One, they provided wood that we need at an affordable price. And two, it thinned out forests so that we wouldn't create tinder boxes that could go up in flames as they are. And the second thing that we haven't been told is that in the 1970s, the Forest Service officially changed their policy on how to deal with forest fires. Up until the 1970s, their effort was to put the fire out. That was the emphasis. Well, since the 1970s, they have adopted a new policy which says, manage it, let the fires burn or burn out. How many of you knew that? We had one. I see one hand. I see two hands told that. Well, that's rather important information, don't you think? I think that's really relative that we know what's going on out there. However, somehow they forgot to mention that to us. Now you take that information with the fact that we are no longer thinning the forests, we're creating tinder boxes on purpose. Then when there is a fire, we aren't even fighting them. We're letting them burn out hundreds of thousands of acres. And then you mix that in with 24-hour news. We were committed to liberal politics. We have nonstop coverage of every flood in the world and every forest fire in the world. And we no longer try to put them out. We just film the carnage, scare the daylights out of you, and tell you that man and fossil fuels are to blame. Now, let me just ask you a question. In 1800, do you think that John Adams would have had any idea if a cyclone hit India? Nope. But what do we know now? Whenever there is a rainstorm anywhere, whenever there is a stiff breeze anywhere, we have nonstop coverage here trying to stir us into a panic. As a matter of fact, I love it when they get caught, and it's so obvious. 2018, Hurricane Florence did not provide the destruction the media was hoping for. So they attempted to con you. Enjoy this click 24-second video from the Weather Channel.
Okay, picking it up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right at the Intracoastal, and we're in one of these bands. This is about as nasty as it's been. We had some bands like this last night, and then the eyeball this morning, we were not on TV. It was a dark and raucous.
You just can't make this stuff up. You see this Weather Channel reporter fighting to stand against these fierce hurricane force winds. Well, all of a sudden, as they pan back, you see two pedestrians taking a stroll in the rain in the same shot. Well, here's the summary of just a few points on myth busting. Sea levels are not rising out of control. It's the same 1.1 inch per decade they have been for the last 172 years that they have had the ability to measure. Polar ice caps are not melting into non-existence. Hurricanes are not increasing, and forest fires are not increasing. So, ladies and gentlemen, man is not causing climate change. Climate has always changed and always will, just as God promised Noah in Genesis 8, verses 22. There will be coming natural and supernatural disasters that are described in the book of Revelation during the period that we call the 7 years of tribulation. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth as what we call eternity begins. But the policies of today are purely political, which we are going to talk about next week. Now, Upton Sinclair was a Pulitzer Prize winning author, activist, and politician from the 1930s. He famously said, and consider this statement, "It's difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends upon his not understanding it." So when you tell a young scientist coming out of college that he will never be hired or never have any of his work published unless he believes and promotes the failed theory of evolution, it's not a coincidence when you see so many of them accept that lie. When you tell your employees that they will not retain their jobs unless they celebrate gay marriage and gender identity, it's not surprising how quickly man conforms. When you tell doctors that masks stop viruses, when doctors know that masks don't stop viruses, but they're going to lose their license if they don't play along and conform, well, you see what you've seen over the last 2 years. And when you hire a scientist and fund their research and tell them you are funding them to find evidence that man and fossil fuels are responsible for climate change, then that's exactly what they're going to find. No matter how bad the data is that they have to input, no matter how much they have to tweak the numbers or twist the models, that's exactly what you'd expect them to find. And that's, of course, what they do find, because their survival is on the line. President Dwight D. Eisenhower may have been the last pure president we've had. Now, I tell you that, Reagan, I loved Reagan. Reagan was a great president. Trump was surprisingly really solid in making decisions that were for the well-being of the United States of America. And actually, I think John F. Kennedy would have probably been a good president, although I think Kennedy was taken out because he wasn't playing the game of globalism. But Dwight Eisenhower, of course, was our commanding general during World War II in the Atlantic Theater in Germany, went on to be elected, served 2 terms as president. And in his famous farewell address, which was televised, he covered a number of things. He tried to warn us of a number of things. One, the industrial military complex in perpetual war because of the money. Well, I think we've seen that to be true. But he also said this: today, the solitary inventor tinkering in his shop has been overshadowed by task forces of scientists in laboratories and testing fields, partly because of the huge costs involved. A government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. Ladies and gentlemen, we have seen this. We are seeing this right now over these last 2 years. By the way, you have nothing to fear about monkeypox. They're trying to promote that as the next COVID. Monkeypox is a gay transferred disease from those that participate in the gay lifestyle. Yet they want to tell us to wear a mask and social distance, but they don't have the intellectual honesty to tell the homosexuals, stop it! But this is where we are today. This is where we are with climate. And quite frankly, this has been Plan A. We'll talk about this next week, but you go all the way back, especially since the fall of the Soviet Union. The goal, in order to consolidate global governance, they thought was stirring up panic among the citizens on planet Earth that we are on the precipice of being destroyed because of the atmosphere, because of global warming. That didn't work. Nobody seemed to care. Then all of a sudden they landed upon COVID, and they made advancements far beyond their wildest dreams. But even as we have seen on videos, undercover videos with CNN editors and reporters, they are telling us they are getting ready to go back and start banging the gong on climate again, because this has always been Plan A. And it's Plan A of the World Economic Forum, which we will talk about next week. But this is where we are. And I want to end today's message with words that mean far more coming from Dr. Moore than they do coming from me. Dan, if you would.
The whole climate crisis, as they call it, is not only fake news, it's fake science. There is no climate crisis. There is weather and climate all around the world. And in fact, carbon dioxide is the main building block of all life. That's where the carbon comes from in carbon-based life, which is all life on land and in the sea. And not only that, a little bit of warming would not be a bad thing for myself, being a Canadian, and the people in Russia wouldn't mind a little couple of degrees warmer either.
But Patrick, you know, there are so many scientists who have come out and say and have said that climate change is real.
Yes, of course climate change is real. It's been happening since the beginning of time. But it's not dangerous, and it's not made by people. Climate change is a perfectly natural phenomenon, and this modern warm period actually began about 300 years ago when that little ice age began to come to an end. There is nothing to be afraid of, and that's all they're doing is instilling fear. Most of the scientists who are saying it's a crisis are on perpetual government grants. On one hand, they say the science is settled and people like myself should just shut up because they know what's right. On the other hand, they seem to keep studying it forever as if there's something new to find out. And those two things are completely contradictory. Carbon dioxide is actually a benefit to the world. I'm in Washington this week for a director's meeting of the CO2 Coalition, whose purpose, and you should take a look at the CO2 Coalition online, because we have some of the top scientists in the United States and Canada on board, and we believe that carbon dioxide is entirely beneficial to both the environment, to agriculture and forestry, and to the climate of the earth.
Patrick, I know you were president of Greenpeace in Canada, 7 years as a director of Greenpeace International. You founded this organization and then you left. Why were you one of the founders, and why did you decide to leave?
I was one of the founders as doing a PhD in the late 60s, early 70s in ecology. I was radicalized by the Cold War and the threat of all-out nuclear war and the emerging consciousness of the environment, and we did a lot of good things. We stopped nuclear testing in Alaska, we stopped it in the South Pacific, we saved the whales, and we stopped a lot of toxic waste being put into the ocean and the air. But by the mid-80s, we had gained a lot of notoriety, and we were bringing in a lot of money, and we were hijacked by the extreme left, who basically took Greenpeace from a science-based organization to an organization based on sensationalism, misinformation, and fear.
God said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Understand, this whole climate deal is a hoax. It's all about a political power grab. I don't know if you saw, but just this week, Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, suggested that we should all get used to the idea of not having cars at all because of saving the earth. They've also suggested that we quit eating meat and start eating insects. Be a cold day in hell before I have a bowl of insects. I'll be down at 8 Outback or Longhorn or Boulevard Steakhouse. In fact, I'm going to order a double portion and even just throw away half of it just for the sake of doing so. But understand, I am absolutely convinced. I believe that all of this, and we'll look at it next week. We're going to look at Revelation 6 next week. I think, as I am seeing things, we are seeing things at the World Economic Forum that really, after years, decades of studying the book of Revelation, decades of studying about end times, we are seeing speeches given at the World Economic Forum that go, oh, that makes sense. That's how that's going to happen. I believe that we are in the last days of the last days. Now, I say this. I could be wrong. We could have another 50 years. I actually am looking to September. Rosh Hashanah, baby. Come on this September. I could be wrong. I mean, it could be any of these September. It could be 5 years, could be 10 years. But I am absolutely, in my mind, I am convinced that what we are seeing is the 10 kings of Daniel 2 as trying to establish global governance that'll be partly strong, partly competitive. That's what we see. You see the Xi Jinpings, you see the Putins, you see the Klaus Schwab. They're all sitting around the same table wanting to run the world. They're all in agreement there, but at the end of the day, they all want to be the top dog. So they're together, but they're not together. Exactly what the scripture says. We'll look at some things next week that I think we are seeing lived out. Here's the deal. You live life as if you're going to die of old age. You save, you go to college, you work, you do whatever necessary. You know, I'm still planning for retirement, whatever. You know, you live life as if you're going to die of old age because we might, who knows, the Lord might not come back for another 50 years. But also live life as if today was your last day. Because that's very real also. And it could be the rapture. Rapture could come at any moment. But it also could be a heart attack. Could be a car wreck. Could be any number of things. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So at the end of the day, what really matters above all of this, again, everything that we teach about here is built upon that foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the beginning. Everything else is on top of that. But as Dan said in Bible class this morning, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? But he's lost and goes to hell. So the most important thing is, what have you done with Jesus?